Understanding the Age of Isolation. At 9:20 a.m. on March 5, 2001, 15-year-old Andy Williams opened fire with a .22-caliber long-barrel revolver from the bathroom of his high school in Santee, California. He fired 30 rounds over 6 minutes, first into the bathroom itself and then into an adjoining courtyard, killing 2 students and hitting 13 other people. He was a skinny, jug-eared freshman, new to town, with a silver necklace reading Mouse. And afterward, as always seems to happen in these cases, his friends and teachers said they could not believe that someone so quiet and mild-mannered could have committed such an act of violence. I wrote in The Tipping Point about adolescent epidemics, and I used as a case study the epidemic of teenage suicide that raged for many years on the islands of Micronesia. I could not find a more dramatic example of the proclivity of teenagers to get caught up in mindless and highly contagious rituals of self-destruction. The Micronesian epidemic started with a single high-profile suicide, a love triangle involving a charismatic high-born youth and a dramatic scene at a funeral, and soon other boys were committing suicide in precisely the same way, and for reasons that seemed preposterously trivial. I thought that the recent rise in teen smoking in the West was our form of this kind of epidemic. But in truth, the analogy was inexact. In Micronesia, teens were doing something entirely unique to their own culture. They were not mimicking an adult practice or reacting to something the adult world was imposing on them. They were simply following the internal rules of their culture, as if they were entirely blind to what adults said and did. Teen smoking, by contrast, is quite different. It's an adult practice that is cool among teens precisely because of its adult roots. And teens smoke, in part, in reaction to what adults preach to them about the evils of smoking. The first is an epidemic in isolation. The second is an epidemic in reaction. I thought we couldn't have the first kind of epidemic among Western teens. I was wrong. We now have the school shooting epidemic. The school massacre at Columbine High in Littleton, Colorado, happened on April 20, 1999. In the 22 months that followed, there were 19 separate incidents of school violence across the United States. 10 of them foiled, fortunately, before anyone got hurt. Each patterned almost eerily on the Columbine shootings. Seth Trickey, a seventh grader in Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, who pulled out a 9mm semi-automatic handgun and fired 15 rounds into a group of classmates in December of 1999, was so obsessed with the Columbine shootings that before the incident, he was receiving psychological counseling. A 17-year-old in Millbrae, California, was arrested after threatening to do a Columbine at his school. Police found an arsenal of 15 guns and rifles in his home. Joseph DeGuzman in Cupertino, California, planned an attack on his school in January of 2001 and later told police that the Columbine gunmen were the only thing that's real. 3 boys were arrested in Kansas the following month, and police found bomb-making materials, rifles, and ammunition in their homes, including 3 black trench coats, just like the coats worn by the Columbine gunman. 2 days later, in Fort Collins, Colorado, police found another cache of ammunition and guns. The boys involved had been overheard plotting to redo Columbine. In the press, this wave of shootings and would-be shootings has sometimes been portrayed as part of a larger wave of violence. But that's not true. In 1992 to 1993, there were 54 violent deaths on public school campuses around the United States. In 2000, there were 16. The Columbine wave happened in a period when violence among students was down, not up. Much attention has also been paid to the social circumstances of the children involved in those incidents. Andy Williams was a lonely and often bullied boy, the product of divorce and neglect. Time magazine summed up his world as a place where getting stoned on super strong weed like bubblegum chronic is for some a daily deed, and where ditching school to rub shoulders with the Aryan Brothers gang in the skate park is an unexceptional life choice. But to have kids growing up in disaffection and loneliness is hardly a new development. Millions of kids who grew up just as emotionally impoverished as Andy Williams don't walk into their school one morning and start shooting. The difference is Columbine. Andy Williams was infected by the example of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, just as the suicides of Micronesia were infected by the example of that first dramatic love triangle. It is a mistake to try to make sense of these kinds of actions by blaming influences of the outside world, in terms of broader trends of violence and social breakdown. These are epidemics in isolation. They follow a mysterious internal script that makes sense only in the closed world that teenagers inhabit.